This is Stand Up for Jesus with your host, Craig Nedro, founder of Craig Nedro Ministries and Stand Up for Jesus. Our focus is to reach out to the lost and witness about the transforming power of Jesus Christ and calling on others to stand up for Christ and His Word, proclaiming that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And now, Standing Up for Jesus, here's Craig Nedro.
Welcome to the program. This is Stand Up for Jesus, and my name is Craig Nedro. On the program today, I'm going to continue the teaching series that actually we're right in the middle of, and that is we're going week by week, chapter by chapter, and teaching from my new book that was released just a couple of months ago. The title of the book is called You Can't Handle the Truth, What's Really Happening in America. And since we're about halfway through the book, and I'm going, there's 14 chapters in the book, and today we're going to be teaching from chapter 7. It's actually part 9 in the teaching series. I want to take just a couple of minute break before I jump in and kind of recap the purpose of the book, a little bit what the book is about. And I want you to know, first and foremost, my purpose in teaching from the book is not to sell books. Listen, several years ago, I wrote another book called Free Indeed. And, our motive then for that book was not to sell books. And the motive, and it may sound crazy, but the motivation for writing this second book called You Can't Handle the Truth, What's Really Happening in America, is not to sell books. We give more away than we sell. The purpose in writing this book was really for people to create a dialogue between people about what's really happening in America today. Because, you know, you can listen to, depending on what kind of news source you listen to or who you talk to, there's usually either a conservative or a liberal viewpoint about what's really happening in America. And there's a lot of authoritative people out there that can tell you what their opinion is of what's really happening in America today. But what I don't see a lot of in any of the news, whether it be conservative or liberal news channels, is I don't see anybody saying this. Why don't we take a look and see what God has to say about what's happening in America today? And I believe that the Bible speaks very clearly about the days that we're living in right now, not just in America, but in the world that we're living in right now. And, I've been a student of prophecy for many, many years. And I got to tell you, folks, it is so exciting to me when I sit back and I read the Bible and study God's word and look at prophecy and look at then lay that down on events that are happening in our world today. It's exciting to me how, and it has been for quite some time, but that how exciting and how clear and quickly prophecy is just literally unfolding and jumping off the pages. And it's continuing today at an unprecedented level. If you are a student of the Bible, then you know what I'm talking about. God's word is unfolding before our very own eyes, and it's such an exciting time to be alive from that perspective. So the purpose in me writing this book was to say, let's look at some things that are going on in America today, because I live in America, but you can really apply them to all the world. Let's really look at what's happening in America today, and let's lay down the Bible scriptures on these topics and really talk about them and see what the Word of God has to say. And I'm going to take just a second, and I'm going to read the back cover of the book, because this gives a little bit of the synopsis of what this book is about. And on the back cover of my book, I write, as we witness what is currently taking place in America, many people share the feeling that something is very wrong. We seem to be replacing our historical values with some radically different ideas. The voice of the conservative, family-oriented, law-abiding, God-fearing population is being drowned out by chaos and a spirit of lawlessness. And we don't seem to have answers for most of the problems that are engulfing the nation. And it is from this perspective that I wrote this book, You Can't Handle the Truth. Could it be that the answer to America's problems isn't really as difficult as they appear? What if there really is a simple solution? Self-examination can be painful, but for positive results, sometimes it's needed. You Can't Handle the Truth is a self-examination of America's current condition with an answer that many people either don't want to hear or can't accept. And the urgent question at the end of this book I address is it too late? So that's really a synopsis and the purpose, the perspective from that I wrote this book, You Can't Handle the Truth. Now, I will say something, and I mentioned already that the purpose was not to sell a lot of books. Do I need to be able to pay for the cost of the book? Yeah, I'd like to be able to pay for it, but I've been blessed in business. My wife and I own a few companies, and so the cost of the book has nothing to do with the fact of why we wrote it and why we want to get copies in people's hands. It's available on Amazon, and it's available on Barnes & Noble. Would I like people, if they can afford it, to go buy and pay for the book? Yes. However, at the end of the program, you will hear a phone number, and I tell people this every week when I teach from it. If you can't afford a copy of this book and you want a copy, at the end of the program, when you hear the phone number, if you'll text your name and your address to that phone number that you hear at the end of the program, we will send you a copy of the book for no charge, because that's where the purpose is, to get the book in people's hands, not worry about the financial costs of it. So once again, if you can't afford a copy of the book and you want a copy of it, we'll be happy to send you a copy. Just text your information. Now, if you've done that in the past and you haven't got a book yet, I'm going to ask you to text it again. Because we try to make sure that we've gotten everybody that's requested a copy, but I feel like maybe we've missed a couple of people. So I apologize if you haven't got a copy and you've texted before. But if you want a copy, text your information again, and we'll make sure that you get a copy. So with that said, I want to get into today's teaching, because I was up last night studying in the middle of the night, and one of the verses, and this book is full of scripture. But verses, section of scripture that we teach from, I really want to expand on a little bit. Now, to do that, I'm going to be teaching from chapter 7 of the book, and chapter 7 of the book is titled Count Your Blessings. Now, I don't know if you're really young or not. You may have never have heard this, but for some of us over the age of 40, we heard a lot of times growing up from either a mother or a grandmother or a grandparent, hey, listen, you know what? You need to count your blessings. And I think in America, that's almost become an afterthought now. Do we still count our blessings in this country? And the chapter that we just finished was titled Stop Your Whining. And I think the attitude of counting your blessings to a large degree has been replaced with either an entitlement mentality or a whining mentality. And so I want to read just a little bit from the book, and then I'm going to get into teaching from a certain section of scripture. And the reason I want to read a little bit from the book is because I'm going to address this topic of counting your blessings from the position of three different types of people without trying to categorize people too much. But let me just read a little bit. I say perspective is so important in life. A great example of that is a glass that is half full. One person will look at that glass and say it's half full, while someone else looks at that glass and says, no, it's not half full, it's half empty. Then there's a third perspective, and that might be the person that says, well, that glass is full. It's half full of water, and it's half full of air, but that glass is full. And that's an example of three different people with three different perspectives looking at the same thing. And I find it curious that a percentage of the population believes that living in America is a blessing and that this is by far the greatest country in the world. And then there's a second group of people. And this group of people is what I would refer to as lukewarm. They don't really have an opinion about whether America is still a great place or America is a bad place. Then there's a third group of people out there, and they believe that the United States of America is a bad place, that it's a horrible country, and they want to destroy it and change everything they can about it. Again, it's three different perspectives on the same topic. And I want to examine in this chapter all three different perspectives. And so on this program today, I'm probably going to need two parts just to get through chapter 7, because I think it's important that we kind of look and examine where we're at as far as, are we in this group that considers America to be still the greatest country on the planet, or are we in that group that's kind of lukewarm, don't really care what you know, America's okay to live in, but it's not what it used to be. Or are we in that third group that says, I think this is a horrible country and we need to destroy it and rebuild it? So let's look at the first one today on the program, and that's group one, and this is the group that believes that living in America is a blessing and that this is by far the greatest country in the world. Now, in my opinion, and I'm reading from the book, in my opinion, this group, to a large degree, are God-fearing Christians. Most people who confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior love America, and they will tell you so. Now, stop and think about what I just said. I want to repeat it. I say most people who are in the first group who think America is a great country tend to be God-fearing Christians. And if most people I know that confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they'll tell you, hey, America is a great country, we've been very blessed, and it's still the greatest country on the planet. And they also realize that our blessings have come from God. You see, in my prayers, often I stop and I acknowledge, Lord, everything good I have in my life is from you. And I thank God that he's on the throne, because you know what? When we stop and take a perspective and stop and really meditate and get quiet and get still and think about the fact that our Heavenly Father, God, is still the only God, and he is on the throne. And everything that's happening down here, he's aware of, and to some degree or not, he either is in control of or he allows to happen. And I take comfort in that because I know we're living in the last days, whatever that may mean. I don't know if we've got 20 days, 20 months, or 20 years before the return of Christ. But I will tell you, as someone who looks at everything that's going on in the world and lays it down on Scripture, I believe we have to be close to the return of Christ. And so I take comfort in the fact that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in America, no matter what happens in my life, God is on the throne. And I know how this is going to end. And I have peace about that, and I take comfort about that. So I want to flip over and teach from a certain section of Scripture for a minute. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead, and this would be a good place for me to take my first break. I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to jump in and teach from a certain section of Scripture. My name is Craig Nedrow, and this is Stand Up for Jesus.
We return to Stand Up for Jesus with Craig Nedrow on Christian Talk Radio, The Word, 100.7 FM.
Welcome back. This is Stand Up for Jesus. I'm Craig Nedrow. I'm teaching from Chapter 7 of my new book. The book is titled, You Can't Handle the Truth, What's Really Happening in America. I mentioned before, it's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. If you want a copy and you can't afford to purchase a copy, there's a phone number at the end of the program. You can text your name and your address to that phone number at the end of the program, and we will send you a copy of this book. So this is part 9 in our teaching series. I'm in Chapter 7. Chapter 7 is titled, Count Your Blessings. And I mentioned before the break, there, I believe that there's, if I could, and not trying to categorize people, so to speak, but most of the people fall into one of three categories. Either the first group that thinks America is still the greatest country in the world and we're blessed and we know that God's the source of our blessings. The second group is kind of lukewarm. Yeah, I mean, America's still, it's a good place to live. But I don't know about being the greatest country in the world. And you know what? To be honest with you, I don't really spend much time thinking about it. And then the third group is the group that says, I don't think it's the greatest country in the world. I think this country is evil. I think it's corrupt. And it needs to be destroyed and torn down and remade. And so I think there's the majority of the population falls into one of those three categories. And today on the program, I'm teaching about category number one. And I mentioned before the break again that I think most of the or a lot of people that believe America is still the greatest country in the world and we're blessed are God-fearing Christians, and we love America, and we tend to support things that we know are good for America, police departments, firemen, fire departments. We want law and order. We want structure. So, and we also understand this, that our blessings come from God, and that we know that God has blessed this nation from the founding of it, and has continued to bless it over the years and years and years. And there seems to be a shift, a change going on in America right now. So I want to stop now, and I want to go to some scripture and teach from some scripture. So if you have your Bibles, open it up to Psalms chapter 33. And whenever I teach, and I mentioned this before, but it's worthy to mention it again, I always teach from the New King James Version. I have a lot of different versions, a lot of different Bibles, but I love the New King James Version, and that's what I use for my day in and day out teaching. And so I'm going to be teaching today in chapter 33 of the Psalms, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And so in Psalms 33, I'm going to start reading in verse 6. And verse 6 says, in Psalms 33, 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses." Now, this is, to me, the very first part of verse 6. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." Takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, when God said, and then there was, and God said, and then there was. And to me, whether you're a believer in Christ or you're not a believer in Christ, you can take almost everything back to that one thing, because you either believe God created the world or he didn't, and there's another creation. And if you can't get the very elementary part of that right, then everything else from there moving forward is kind of skewed. But see, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that he created everything in the world. And so as being my starting point allows me to move forward, and I think I have a proper biblical perspective moving forward from there. And I think this verse here in Psalms chapter 33 kind of confirms that. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." And then in verse 8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." Now, I want to point something out there, because when we see the word fear, we think about it and about being scared of something. And, you know, Jesus said in the New Testament at one point, he said, "Do not fear man who can kill the body. I'll tell you who you should fear. Fear the living God who can kill the body and send the soul to hell." So that word fear does mean an honest, healthy fear. I know growing up, I had a certain honest, healthy fear of my dad. I knew if I did certain things, my dad was going to wear me out, okay? And because I deserved it. I brought it on myself. So that word fear does mean that, but it really means a reverential, godly awe, being in awe of the Lord. And it actually states it in the next sentence. It says, so in verse 8 of Psalms 33, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." That, again, takes me all the way back in my mind to Genesis chapter 1. Then listen to what the Bible says here in Psalms chapter 33. "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing." I think these three or four verses I'm reading now are an amazing section of Scripture. Listen to what this says again. It says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing." Now stop and think about the world we live in right now, folks. We live in a time where a relatively small group of people, some people would say it's the World Economic Forum, some people would say it's the United Nations, there's a small group of very powerful people who really believe in their own minds and hearts that they're in control of everything. And to a certain degree, they are. But in reality, they're really not. In reality, they're pawns of a much bigger picture, of a scheme, of an act that's playing out before our eyes. And here, I love it, because the Bible says here in Psalms 33 and 10, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing." Listen to what it continues to say. "He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generation." In other words, you people on earth think that you're in control and that you direct things that are happening in this world. God says, there will be a time come where you'll find out that you were wrong. See, we live on a fallen planet. And there's a battle going on. If we could see the spirit realm, there's a battle going on between good and evil. And we're living in the days now where the darkness, the evil, Satan is on the run. He's on the move. They feel like they're capturing ground, and they are capturing ground. We live in a world, and I'm in my 60s, but I don't ever remember a time in my lifetime, and I think that I don't think this is a naive statement. I can't recall a time in my own lifetime where, not just in the United States, but worldwide, the level of corruption, the level of lawlessness, the level of satanic activity, the level of demonic things that we are witnessing, whether it be in society, things that we're allowing to happen to our children, or whether it be, I read this recently and this astounded me, that the fastest growing church in America is the Church of Satan. Does that not blow anybody's mind? And so as we watch this satanic activity explode around the world, they think that they are in control. And this small group of powerful people that want to tear down America, destroy all the foundation of what's happening in the world, and they want to have the term they use is the Great Reset. Those people, they believe that they are in control, and to a certain degree they are. But the bigger picture, God would say, all you people are as pawns for my greater picture. Because here in the Bible it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The plans of his heart to all generations. It says the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. And so if we're able to stand back and look at it, and I mentioned earlier, I have a certain peace because I know God is on his throne. And I know it's difficult, but I want to give you a word of encouragement to this group of people. When I talk about count your blessings, part of counting your blessings is to stop and say, you know what, Lord? I am so grateful that you're on the throne and that Jesus sits at your right hand and that nothing that's happening down here you're unaware of. And as fearful and as anxious as we may get sometimes, and that's one of the signs of the very last days, folks. Paul said in the very last days, anxious. He said difficult times will come. And so we're living in these last days. But we can take comfort in the fact that God is on the throne. He knows what's going on. He cares about what's going on. And it's only a matter of time before God intercedes in the world affairs. If you're a believer in Christ, you have to take comfort in those types of things. I'm going to take my second break now and come back. My name is Craig Nedrow, and this is Stand Up for Jesus.
More of Craig Nedrow and Stand Up for Jesus on Christian Talk Radio, The Word, 100.7 FM.
Welcome back. This is Stand Up for Jesus. I'm Craig Nedrow. I'm teaching from chapter 7 in my new book. The book is titled, You Can't Handle the Truth, What's Really Happening in America. Chapter 7 is Count Your Blessings, talking about one of the three groups of people that I believe are represented in our country now, and that is a group of people that believe in the Lord, believe in God, believe in Jesus, and we believe that God has blessed this country. We believe it's still the greatest country in the world. Do we have problems? Of course we do. We have problems we don't have the answers to right now. And the main reason for that is that we've turned away from the Lord. As a nation, as a majority of people in this nation, we've turned from the Lord. But I believe that there's a certain group of people who are serious about our faith. We believe in the Lord. We believe in Jesus. And we know that God has blessed this country and our blessings come from him. And so I'm teaching from Psalms chapter 33. And before the break, I read verses 10 and 11, and I want to read those and go right into verse 12. Verse 10 of Psalm 33 says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. the plans of his heart to all generations. And I talked about the fact that when you read that, it should give us a certain peace that comes over us to know that, you know what, as crazy and chaotic and evil as things are getting in our nation and around the world today, you know what? Our Heavenly Father's still on the throne, and he's in control. At least that gives me peace. Then there's an astounding verse here, and think about America when I read this verse. Verse 12 of Psalms chapter 33 says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." And that's the reason that America has been so blessed from the very beginning, is because we acknowledged and we knew that that in this nation, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's been the reason that we've been blessed. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." And see, I believe, and I can't give you a specific date, a year that it began to happen, but it was probably sometime in the, and you may have a difference of opinion, and that's okay, but sometime in the 60s, there began to be a shift in this. And it accelerated in the 70s, and it's just continued to accelerate, where people have turned farther and farther away from the thought that we're blessed because of God, to the point of where we believe we're blessed because of things that we've done. And we've reached a point now where, and I have to examine myself on this, and I talk about it in the book, and I actually talk about it as this group of people, the first group that knows that our blessings come from God. I say in the book, I say, here's the challenge for the first group that I'm describing. Have we begun to take these blessings for granted? Now, stop and think about that statement. I have to examine myself. And folks, I have to tell you, sometimes, and I did this last night in my prayer lot, in the middle of the night when I was praying, I think sometimes I take some of the blessings from God for granted. Let me give an example. The simple things that we have in this country that other nations around the world don't have. There's a reason why everybody wants to come to America, besides now our government just promising them free money. But think about certain things. We have clean air, to the most part. And to the most part, we have clean running water. We can go to a grocery store and walk in and purchase food. I don't know if you've ever been to a third world country, but I have, and I've been to a couple of third world countries where there are no grocery stores to walk in and buy vegetables and fresh fruit and meat and groceries. I've been in those places. And yet that's probably something that we take for granted here. And how about the fact that we have the freedom to go where we want to go, to see who we want to see, to eat where we want to eat, to travel where we want to travel. I know that I have to examine my own self sometimes and say, Craig, do you take some of the things, some of the blessings from God for granted? And I have to tell you that sometimes I do. I have a wonderful marriage. I have kids and grandkids. I have a thriving business that I know God is the source of the blessings for my company. I live in a beautiful neighborhood in a beautiful home. I live in Texas. To me, that's a blessing. I need to stop sometimes and examine myself and say, Father, I take so many things for granted that you've blessed me with. And I think we as a nation have done this. And I think even this first group I'm talking about are people that we know that America is still the greatest country on the planet, and we know our blessings come from God. The challenge for us sometimes, and I think the question that I think would be good for us is, do we stop and acknowledge the blessings that come from God sometimes? And I don't say it in a critical manner. I say it in I'm talking about me. I have to self-examine myself sometimes. And as I go back to Psalms chapter 33 here, in verse 12, it just says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." And then It says in verse 13, "The Lord looks from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth." Now, again, I think this is an amazing section of Scripture, but think about this verse here. It says, "From the place of his dwelling, he, being God, looks on all the inhabitants of the earth." I'm being reminded of something very quickly, and I'm going to try to flip over and find this particular verse, because this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Listen to this in 2 Chronicles, talking about how God looks down from heaven on all the inhabitants of the earth. Excuse me. In 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this verse, though. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Once again, in case you say, "Oh, wait a minute, where is that?" 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. I'll read it again. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." And I will tell you, folks, for so many years in this country, I believe that's exactly why we've risen to the level of prosperity and greatness and strength in this country, is because we've had a heart that's loyal to God. And God says, "I'm going to bless that country because their heart is loyal to me." It says back over here in Psalms 33, "The Lord looks from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. He looks from the place of his dwelling on all the inhabitants of the earth." God sees what's going on right now, guys. And I don't know, I mentioned this earlier in the program, I don't know if it's too late for America. But can you imagine if we as a nation humbled ourselves, took a self-examination of ourselves and said, "Lord, we've turned from you in so many different ways, and we confess that now, and we want to repent from that and turn back to you, Lord. And we ask in turning back to you, Lord, as we confess that we've turned from you, put a loyal heart back in all of us as a nation." And can you imagine what what could happen in this country if we as a nation turned back to God right now and did that? I think it would be an amazing time in America. I'm going to take my last break. My name is Craig Nedrow, and this is Stand Up for Jesus.
Back to Stand Up for Jesus with Craig Nedrow on Christian Talk Radio, The Word, 100.7 FM.
Welcome back. This is Stand Up for Jesus. I'm Craig Nedrow. I'm teaching from chapter 7 in my new book. Chapter's titled Count Your Blessings, and I was talking about the first, I think there's three different types of people, and next week I'll talk about group number 2 and group number 3, Lord willing. But today on the program, I'm talking about group number 1, and that's the group of people that believe in Jesus, believe in the Lord. We know that America's been the greatest country in the history of mankind, the most prosperous, the strongest, just in so many ways, and our blessings have all come from God. And I've been teaching from Psalms chapter 33, and before the break, I was in verse 13 and 14 where it says, "The Lord looks from heaven," in Psalms chapter 33, "The Lord looks from heaven, he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth." And I talked about the fact that I have to do a self-examination sometimes and stop and just remind myself and thank God for all the things I'm blessed for as an American, and the fact that I live in a country like this. Am I grateful for these things? Yes. But do I stop often enough and really spend time thinking about these and all the things that God does for me and my family? And in truth, I probably don't do it enough. If I'm being honest, I admit that sometimes I take many of the blessings that God has given to me for granted. And I want to end the program today with one other section of Scripture that kind of supports what I'm talking about. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to the seven churches at the beginning of Revelation. And in chapter 2, I want to read what Jesus talks about. He's speaking to one of the churches, and in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, he begins and he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those that are evil. So for us in America right now, I'm getting off the scripture right there. For us in America today, that we know our blessings come from God. You know, the Bible tells us to love what is good and hate what is evil. The Bible actually uses the word abhor, which means just be utterly disgusted. It says love what is good and abhor what is bad, what is evil. And I know a certain portion of us, a percentage of us, that's how we feel. And here Jesus, in speaking to the church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those that are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have preserved and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. I think that describes a certain portion of the church. He says, but then Jesus says some very sobering words here. He says, nevertheless, I have found this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. And in my book, right, I have that section of scripture in my book, and right after that I said, these are some very sobering words from Jesus. This church or group had some good traits, but they had lost their first love. And these people I'm referring to in group one that love America and love Jesus, I think we have to ask ourselves this question. Have we lost our first love? And I know many people would say, no, Craig, I have not lost my first love. That's my first response too, but still I have to stop and pause and examine myself. You know, in verse 3, in Jude, the last book before Revelation, the writer of Jude writes in verse 3, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And those two words, contend earnestly, in the original Greek language, means to struggle for something. And here's what I would tell you. In this first group, I know we love Jesus, but when we stop and examine ourselves to see if we've lost our first love, let me ask the people in this first group who think America is the greatest country in the history. We know our blessings are from God. We love the Lord. But let me ask you this. Have we grown silent? Do we speak up about our faith in Christ as often as we should, to the people that we should? Or are we being silenced by another majority of people? Are we cowering because we don't want to offend anyone? Are we being held silent because we're afraid of some of the repercussions that could come upon us for speaking up about our faith? I've told my wife this before. I'm surprised that I'm still on the air, to be honest with you. And there could be a day when I'm told that I can no longer come on the air and teach about things that I teach about and speak the way I speak. But I have to examine myself, folks. And I have to tell you, sometimes when I examine myself, I have to admit and confess and repent. I don't want to lose my first love. Last night in my prayer life, in my prayers last night, I said, Lord, please do not let me become lukewarm. Stir me. Stir the embers inside of me, Lord. Create a desire in me. Create a boldness in me to speak about what I should speak about. And I want to end the program today with a prayer. If you're listening to the program and you know that what I've been talking about is ringing, is a confirmation for you. You love the Lord. You know you're saved. You believe America is the greatest place in the history of mankind, the greatest nation, and you're concerned about where we're headed. Let me just end this program today with prayer. I know many of you are driving. I know you can't pull over and bow your heads, but if you're somewhere where you can just join me in this prayer, let me end with prayer. Lord, I thank you for America. And I acknowledge, Father, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge that all of our blessings come from you. We are blessed beyond abundance. And I know that our blessings come from you, Lord. And Lord, we're living at such an interesting time in American history, in world history. There's chaos. There's evil. The darkness is growing. It seems like we're everything having concerning you and your kingdom and Christ, we're under attack and we're under assault. But Lord, I want to stop. And my brothers and sisters who are listening and joining me in prayer now want to stop and say to you, Lord, we trust you. And we take comfort that you're on your throne. And we know that every blessing that we've had in this country is from you. And Lord, for those of us who sometimes don't stop and give you the glory and give you all the credit for all the simple things that you do, the ways you protect us that we don't realize, the blessing of having clean air, clean water, a roof over our head, place to go play with our kids, a place to go work and travel and eat what we want and have the food to eat. Lord, thank you for all these things. You've been so good to us. But Lord, stir us. Create a hunger in each one of us again for your word. Create a stirring in us to share your word and share the news about Jesus Christ with other people. And then give us the discernment in how to share those things and when and with who to share those things. Father, we take comfort that you're on your throne. And we want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And until that moment, Lord, continue to protect us and bless us and show us grace and mercy where we need it. And I pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I'll be continuing next week, Lord willing, teaching from chapter 7 in my new book. The book is titled, You Can't Handle the Truth, What's Really Happening in America. You can get it on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. There's a phone number you'll hear in a few minutes. If you can't afford the book, text your contact information with an address to that number and we'll send you a book. I appreciate you tuning in. My name is Craig Nedrow, and this is Stand Up for Jesus.
You've been listening to Stand Up for Jesus with Craig Nedrow, founder of Craig Nedrow Ministries and Stand Up for Jesus. If you would like more information about Craig Nedrow Ministries and Stand Up for Jesus, visit our website at craignedrowministries.org or give us a call at area code 469-688-7615. Be sure to listen next week at this same time as we Stand Up for Jesus on Christian Talk Radio, The Word, 100.7 FM.